He says, I implore Eudio and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind or live in harmony with one another. And then he tells them how to do it. He says, in the Lord.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, happy Monday. We're delighted to begin a new week of Bible study, and it's great to have you tuning in. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Prosperous and Happy, from the New Testament Epistle of Philippians. Now, let's listen in.
Now, so being of the same mind doesn't mean your kids must be in a public school or your kids must be in a private Christian school. Do you follow me? No. It means to be that every believer, they must be what? Of the same mind in the Lord. Why? We belong to Him. That's a command. Did you know Philippians 2:5 is a command? It's imperative. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. At all. And when you, listen, whenever you have the same mind, that is the only solution for division. Did you know that? And if you'll do that, that's how division ends. Look back with me at Philippians 2:1. Let's look at this a little deeper. He says, therefore, in Philippians 2:1, meaning, there again, we're talking about behaving as citizens of heaven. Therefore, if there's any encouragement, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of His love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, or a koinonia, companionship, intimacy, if you will, with the Holy Spirit, any affection, mercy. Now look what Paul says. Fulfill my joy by being what? There you go. Thinking the same thing, which is, of course, the mind of Christ. And having the same love, being of one accord, one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, emptying yourself of yourself. He says, let each esteem others better or more important than himself, and let each of you look out not for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And here it is. Let this mind, and there was the mind of Christ revealed right there, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen. Let me read it from the another version. In your lives, you must think and act like Jesus Christ. If not, loved one, now listen, then we're going to live below our calling. Do you know, if Christians are at war with one another, do you think they have peace with God the Father? No, they have no peace at all. So what is Paul going to do? Paul is going to bring the problem, because he loves these two ladies, he's going to bring it out in the open. Why does he do that? Because there's no such thing in the body of Christ as an isolated problem. We're all connected. Amen? We are His body. Jesus is the head. So prosperous and happy, they weren't living up to their names, were they? No, they were absolutely miserable. They were sowing division. We don't know what kind, but it was affecting the church at Philippi. Isn't it sad today when you see discord in churches and so forth? A lot of people in the body of Christ, not a lot, but there are those that have their own agenda. Do you understand? So they come into a church and they have their own agenda and they don't like what's going on. They want to change the nursery. They want to change the youth. They want to change the wallpaper. They want to, you know what I'm saying? They want to change the pastor. Hallelujah. Just give me a chair back there. That's all I need. And preferably a lazy boy. And then what happens is discord breaks out and it's a bloody mess. And then they leave and they go to another church and continue the same thing. Do you follow me? And that is tragic, isn't it? And so Paul, he brings this out in the open. He says, listen, you've got to live in harmony with one another, which is only possible in the Lord. And he says this in verse 3. He says, and I urge you also, true companion. Let's say those two words together. True companion. Isn't that a beautiful word? True companion. You know, and I go, wow, Paul, that means loyal yoke fellow. That is a person who takes someone who is hurting or sowing discord or in trouble, and it's like a yoke, you know, like the yoke of oxen, but he is so tender, he is so loving, he pulls that person under his yoke, and he says, just come with me. Just come with me. And he's so tender and he's so loving. So Paul calls on this person. We're not told who it is. He says, oh, true companion, look what he's asked him to do. He says, help these women. The word help means go to and hold on. Go grab them. Grab them with such tenderness. He says, oh, help these women. Why? Look what they did. Who labored with me in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And also look at the others who labored with him to establish a church at Philippi. He says, with Clement, we don't know who that is. And he says, also the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. He says, go over there and hold fast to them, true companion. Put that yoke on and get them underneath and let's get them back together again. And he uses a word, he says, because they labored with me in the gospel. That goes all the way back, loved one, to the riverside in Acts chapter 16. So that word labored there means this. They had to fight alongside of me. They fought like they were, these women were fearless. They were like gladiators, if you will. And not only that, they entered into my struggle and I need them and they helped me. They were for me. These were great women of God. These were, man, think about Paul. He's defending them. He said, they fought right beside me. He says, true companion, he says, listen, would you please help these women? Help them. You know, every church needs true companions, that their heart, when they see discord or they see a hurt or whatever it might be, that true companion goes alongside of the ones that are hurting and loves them and brings them up, not puts them down. Amen? Now, I want you to think about something for a minute. Now, prosperous and happy, did they once work well together? Isn't that something? I mean, did they pray together? You know that they did. I mean, did they win the lost together? Amen. Think about that. They labored with me fervently, Paul says, fighting like gladiators. He says, for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. They were his companions, these women. Loved one, listen, did prosperous and happy, you know they loved the Lord, right? And you know that, you know, at one time they had each other's back. But now, I don't know. I mean, that doesn't say that they were married, but I believe that they were. Maybe their husbands were best friends. Maybe their children, happy and prosperous, maybe their children at one time, I'm not trying to add to Scripture, maybe their children played together, but not anymore. Amen? I mean, I look at that, and then I think, here are two women, prominent women, hardworking women, and they labored beside the greatest apostle that ever lived, the one who had raised the dead and had been to heaven and so forth. They worked with Paul. Now listen, these women, loved one, listen to me now, these women, again, they were prominent. That's why they were people of influence in the church. That's why there was a discord was occurring. But I want you to listen to me. They weren't carnal Christians, and they weren't little baby Christians. They were mature. And here's what's sad. And you've seen it, and I've seen it. Sometimes what we're learning this morning, this shows us that even committed, faithful, mature, sincere believers can become so selfish that they sow discord in the body. Isn't that sad? But it's true. Someone said this. He said, church fights are the worst fights, perhaps because they break out among people who profess to believe in unity and profess to be in love. And many Christians, he says, have been so hurt by a fellow believer that they walk away from the church and they never return. That's heartbreaking, isn't it? But we know that's true. It happened then and it happens today. Now here's what I believe when Paul spoke to these two wonderful women, and they were wonderful women. They were at odds though. Now I believe that when Paul said the last thing in the verse we just read, I believe something happened in the hearts of happy and prosperous. Whenever they heard this, whose names are written in the book of life. Man, that had to have touched him, meaning God himself had put their names there in the book of life. Whenever a person confesses Jesus on earth, Jesus confesses them up in heaven. Amen? That's what God says in his word. Now listen, you know, the thing is that there's always a chip on somebody's shoulder. Not always, everyone, but that's how it always starts. And someone said this, there's no heavier load than a chip on the shoulder. What a word. Listen, they're going to be spending eternity together. We're going to be spending eternity together. Amen? So Paul says, you're going to have to come alongside of one another because you are so joyless because you are divided. You see, isn't it funny that people can be divided, but they still love one another? But they're so selfish, they can't get right with one another because I'm not going to come to you, you're going to come to me. Isn't that silly? It's like, isn't it terrible when grown-ups act like little children? Yes. Now look at verse 4. Paul says, your guys are miserable. Now watch this. He says, rejoice, here it comes, not in your circumstances, not in other people. He says, you girls, you need to get back and rejoice in one person and one person only, and that is in the Lord always. Be constantly rejoicing. You used to have a lifestyle of rejoicing, Paul says. Now you don't. And this is a command, by the way. And he says it again. Again, I say, rejoice. Now listen to me. Don't miss the context here. This is so important, the context of this command. Yes, it is for all believers, but it is given in context with the quarreling that's going on between these two women. Amen? That's good to see that. And so it's hard to rejoice in the Lord if you're in conflict with another believer. Amen? It's very difficult. See, division is always a destroyer of joy. And the reason is because when we're at odds with one another, does it grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Yes. Does it quench the Holy Spirit of God? Yes. The word grieve means to make sad. We can make the Holy Spirit sad. And so that's why they weren't prosperous. And that's definitely why they weren't happy. Now, and the only way that you can ever be happy, really, or have that kind of joy that we're speaking about, is in one person. True joy is only found in Jesus Christ. Not found in anyone else, loved one. Only in the Lord. Listen, I am so thankful that we're in union with Him. See, the joy of the Lord is our what? Nehemiah 8:10. Amen. The joy of the Lord. That means that the joy that we have internally, loved one, is of divine origin. It's not from this earth. It's supernatural. It's from heaven. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, and so forth. That joy that is produced by the Spirit of God in our lives. So here's the deal. If you're not in the Lord, then you don't have true joy. Think about that. No, listen, Jesus said in John 15:11, He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full, overflowing. Now listen, since joy is only found, no matter where, in this whole universe, only in one place, since joy is found in the Lord, there's no reason to look anywhere else. Amen? That's our answer, and that's the answer that these two women needed. You girls, he says, get back together. You both worked right alongside of me. I know your personalities. I know what makes you tick. I know that you love the Lord, and I know that you love one another. All these years, you worked side by side. Now get back side by side again and start rejoicing in the Lord. He says, don't allow the devil to rip you off and steal your joy. But then he tells us how to do it. Now watch this in verse 5. He tells us how to get back together, or how they need to get back together, and all believers. You ready? It says, and let your what? Let your gentleness be known or made evident. Let people see it. Be known to all men. And the reason? The Lord is at hand. Wouldn't you hate to be mad at somebody? Just think about it. If you're arguing with another believer and all of a sudden the rapture occurred, you're arguing all the way up. You think that would happen? You don't? No, listen. See, that's exactly what these two women needed. But again, like I just said, all believers need this. See, this conflict between happy and prosperous, the reason that there was a conflict wasn't solved because they were both determined to have their own way. May I say something in this early service? I probably won't say it in a second because they send me too many emails. And I don't mean anything against women. I love everyone. But I think whenever women are at odds with one another in the church, it's different than when men are at odds. Bill, Lord, please don't let me get, you know, like passive aggressive, you know what I mean? I mean, I've had people be so kind, they're smiling at me, but the whole time they're passive aggressive. It scares me, you know? Listen, women, when they get mad, they get mad. Did you know that? You know, I mean, I call my wife nail driver, you know, I'm serious. I said, you're a nail driver, man, but she's just pounding me to death, you know? Well, never mind. All right, let's continue here. So he says, let this gentleness be known, he goes, to all men and so forth. So they were selfish. They both wanted to have their own way. But that word gentleness, it is a rich, rich word in the Greek language. It literally could read this way, let your sweet reasonableness be known to everyone. The word known there is literally for others to experience it. So let everyone be able to not only see your sweet reasonableness, but to also experience in their lives, all people. And that's what's needed in their relationship. In other words, someone, either happy or prosperous, they're going to have to say, okay, it doesn't matter if you're right or I'm right, but what matters is that I'm going to sacrifice my rights because I love you and I love the Lord. And I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. And I'm going to reach out and I'm going to pull you along to my side because I have worked with you all these years and I love you dearly. See, that is what was needed. You remember when Lot and Abraham, when they came into the land and both their herds had just grown and grown and grown and the herdsmen were arguing. Remember that? And so what did Abraham do? Let me just read. He said in Genesis 13:8, so Abraham or Abram said to Lot, he says, now remember that Lot was his nephew, Abraham was his uncle. Okay, there were family and we're family. Amen. He says, Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife, no division, no quarreling between you and me, or between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. And listen why. He says, for we are brethren. Now, Abraham, man, listen. He said, Lot, you just lift up your eyes. If you like that portion of the land, you go take it, and I'll go different direction. Or if you like that direction, I'll go over here. That's what this word sweet reasonableness implies and means. Just say, you know what? I love you, and we're family, and we're not going to argue. We're not going to have any quarreling. The Bible says in Psalm 133:1, behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know what every church should be famous for? Is having a sweet reasonableness with everyone. Amen. Every church of Christ should be famous for that. And you know why? Look what Paul, how he closes, loved one. He says, for the Lord is what? The Lord is near. Now listen, that means many different things. The Lord is near. Does that mean the rapture? Of course, the Lord is near. But it also means that the Lord is at hand or near in another way. He is always with us. Amen? Matthew 28:20. He'll never leave us. He's always here right now with us until the end of the age. He promised. That's a promise from our Lord. But listen, one of the main reasons is this. The Lord is near. Do we have time to argue? Don't you hate arguing? Yes, thank you, brother, sister, whoever that was. Thank you, brothers and sisters there. No, I hate arguing. You know that I don't argue. You can ask my wife. I'll do something. Now, she'll start the nail driving. You know what I mean? And I'll do something. I'm not going to tell you what I do. But I do. And you know what? She has to start laughing. And that's just the way it is. I don't like that spirit in my home. Amen? No, I don't like division at all. And another thing is, we don't have time. That, you know, the day is dawning. Amen? Listen, we must love each other as the time draws near, and we need to stay awake, okay? Let me close with a scripture on this Mother's Day about the Lord being at hand from Romans 13:11. Let me just read it to you, and then we're going to close. Paul says, "And do this, knowing the time that now," that means right this minute, talking about the Lord at hand, okay, that the Lord is near. He says that now it is high time. It's like this morning. That means the alarm is going off, okay? You know, I never sleep through my alarm. It went off at 4:15, and I thought I was in another world because, I set it, but I don't ever use it. Does that make sense? Because I wake up and I'm off. But man, I thought, where am I? Where, you know, never mind. It means high time, and high time to do what? Here it comes. To awake out of sleep. That word literally means that person is out cold. They are unconscious. They're inactive in the things of God. He says it's time to awake up out of our sleep. For now, right this minute, I love that. For now, our salvation, meaning our future glorification, our new bodies, going home to heaven. It says that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We are closer to the coming of Christ than any generation in history. Amen? He might come today. And awaking out of sleep, I pray that that doesn't mean the condition of the church before the rapture, that the church is just asleep. No, I pray not. And he says, the night is far spent. I'm thankful. That means it's nearly over, loved one. And it is nearly over. You know what I'm saying? It's all winding down. He says, oh, the day is at hand. That means the time is now limited. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. He says, let us walk properly as in the day. And I'm going to mention not all of it, but just a few. He says, properly, walk properly, not in strife, not in quarreling, not in sowing discord. He says, oh no, none of those things. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Question before we close on this Mother's Day. Listen, do you think that prosperous and happy got right with each other? Yes, they did. You know why? Because of the way Paul loved them, exposed them, and tenderly had the true companion go after them. Amen. What a great epistle this is. It's so deep. There's so much in it, loved one. And you know something? I say to this early service, and I certainly don't know, and I hope that what I'm about to say is not happening at all, but you know what? If you're quarreling with someone, I mean, men, women, all of us, settle your differences. Amen. Settle them. In other words, okay, I'm going to sacrifice my, I'm going to do it. Oh, good. That's what God wants you to do. And there, you know what's going to happen? The joy of the Lord is going to come back into your heart. In other words, it'll start pouring out again. You're going to have a peace because you did what was right. It may be that moms, you're upset with your mom. Hadn't spoken to her. Come on. You know what I mean? Get right in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word this morning. I believe what a wonderful word, Lord, and how it was divinely planned about these two women. I pray over the moms. I pray over everyone, Lord. Bless them this day. I pray they have a marvelous, wonderful Mother's Day, Lord, and I just pray for the peace that passes understanding to be upon each and every soul. We love you. We give you praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen.
On Love Never Fails next time, Pastor Bill continues his study in Philippians. And you won't want to miss Pastor's next message titled, Birds and Flowers. So please make a note to join us again. Thank you for the privilege of your time. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.